FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's January 30th, 2018. So markets continue to go up. A little bit of rough patch in the stock markets. Is this time different? Will the cycle get its revenge? Danielle Park is here with us now. But to be part of the show, email us kl@kerrylutz.com. Any questions, comments about this or any other show that we do? Well, Danielle, okay, welcome back. And so the more things change, the more they stay the same, right?
Hey, Kerry, thanks. Well, you know, we're just getting a little taste the past few days. It's hard to tell whether this is going to be, you know, have much duration or legs yet. But we're getting a little taste of what correlations do when you have, you know, since the past 5 years in particular, you've had this really rampant speculation and leverage increasing in the world, thanks to QE, central banks, you know, aiding and abetting speculative behavior. And of course, Wall Street has zero historical memory whatsoever, and the participants don't either. And so everything goes up together, and that's all wonderful. But then they forget that then everything that was inflated on leverage and speculation also declines together. And there is zero diversity benefit in these markets by trying to hold emerging market securities versus developed world securities, corporate debt, stocks, commodities, the whole thing moves up and down together. Mm. And so when people think they talk about portfolios and, you know, it's always a typical sign of a late expansion that everyone's overly confident that they have great diversification in their portfolios. Then you get into these correlated down moves and everything drops and people are really shocked. So I say that, you know, it's like a game of snake and ladders. And although the ladders can go on for a long period and look really productive, it doesn't take much for a snake to take away years and years of apparent advance in a matter of weeks and months.
Well, I have a feeling we're not quite there yet. But in the meantime, you know, optimism and complacency are running supreme. It reminds me of the Bitcoin conference I went to in Miami, the North American Bitcoin conference, where, you know, it's like, all I hear is, don't cryptocurrencies always go up, Danielle?
Right? Oh, well, that would have been the great unwashed, the human animal at its very worst when it comes to speculative manias, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. It was remarkable that they were really, you know, there was some real technical innovation here, some real benefits that are going to accrue. Like I always give the example of counterfeit aircraft parts coming from wherever, and the ability to track them all on the blockchain and know exactly where they've been, where they've come from, or counterfeit pharmaceuticals, for instance. As far as keeping all of your assets in cryptos, well, you know, hey, the most aggressive people I know out there who are really pro-crypto say, put in 5% gambling money and just be happy with whatever you make. Those are the most aggressive people who are in the, you know, our world.
So the same thing applies exactly. I mean, I've written about blockchain and some of the advantages and the evolution of currency, and I can see some of the legitimate motivations for the idea of a, you know, borderless currency and something that can be used from smartphone to smartphone in the world where people are unbanked, all that. But the reality is that the Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency phenomenon, the speculative mania that we've seen in the past year or so has been directly correlated, again, exact same impulses that we've witnessed in the global markets, in every other area, in art, in collectibles, in, you know, you name it. Too much liquidity floating around in the world, poor investment prospects left and right, and you get people trying to justify the unjustifiable, you know, buying things at ridiculous pricing. And the only thing that they have to counter every other rational argument or every valuation measurement that we take and that warns of extreme risk, all they have to counter that is, well, you're wrong because the price is going up. Yeah. And, you know, even Mr. Trump, I'm great because the stock market's up. Very, very dangerous line of communication to take, because it has nothing to do with anything except too much leverage and too much speculation. And when those bubbles burst, everything goes down together, mean reverts, all those perhaps legitimate arguments or ideas that were underlying the thing at its inception have become so bastardized and so morphed into this madness that it has nothing to do with anyone's, you know, acumen or leadership of a company or prospects for profit. Everything has been priced in, you know, by historical measurements. We're like at the highest ever, much higher in many ways than the 2000 peak. We are three times the historical norm on where we ought to be in terms of price versus investment prospects here. And so, you know, it's all part of this mental fever, this sickness that's swept through. And so what I find fascinating is, you know, they were trying to legitimize Bitcoin, for example, and making futures and ETFs. And this is like, surely, I'm watching these applications to the SEC thinking, surely to God, no, we're not going to go, you know, allow people to trade futures on something that's already a derivative. I mean, this is, you know, this is why the system gets so crazy, and it's why it blows up in such a spectacular manner. So I think that we're headed into, you know, the risk cycle, the cycle strikes back. As you're seeing around the world right now, everything dropping together, no capital preservation to be had, except in things like cash or, you know, the most liquid treasuries, the shorter term duration things, everything else getting the hammer all at once.
Yeah, it's dangerous to take any responsibility for the stock market because, like you say, those gains could become very illusory and they could be gone, right? How quick?
Yeah, well, not could be gone, will be gone. The question is never if. The question is a matter of when. And as I say, this particular cycle, as Dieter Sarnett like to say in his book, Why Markets Crash, and John Hussman's excellent in bringing that information out. And he reminded that the quote is, the collapse is fundamentally due to the unstable position. The instantaneous cause of the crash is always secondary. So it's the very overvaluation and extreme leverage which causes every crash and which causes all of the assets that have been inflated on these same factors to implode together. And that's why, you know, that when you look at a table of year over year returns, as I always try and point out to people, first of all, compound total returns are reported as, you know, a reason for holding stocks. They say, look at this table of the last 30 years. Here's the compound total return numbers. And everyone says, oh, you know, where do I sign? How do I get that? And the fact of the matter is that those returns are, first of all, illusionary because they are an assumption of every single dividend that was ever paid was reinvested every quarter. Right, no money was ever taken out. No withdrawals were ever made. No fees were ever paid. No taxes were ever paid. All those assumptions. And that's a perfect fantasy, which nobody gets. But even if you take those numbers at face value, what you find, and I demonstrate that in that article I was writing about snakes and ladders, the reality is that, you know, when you start from overvaluation. So like in December of 1999 or today, you know, by the time the market correction takes place, you have spent 18 to 20 years and got zero return, zero net return. So lots of anguish, lots of emotional ups and downs, but zero net return for your trouble. And my point is always, who has the amount of time in their life to spend 18 to 20 years going up and down, up and down, up and down, taking out no money ever, you know, because you can't, because it's all long-term investment stuff. This is just not the real world for anybody. Most people need cash flow to pay their bills. And in crashing markets like you have right now, you have people so much on margin and borrowing against their portfolio to buy and sustain their life that they are literally forced to sell in order to raise the cash. And that's why markets have this self-fulfilling momentum to the downside.
Yeah, that they do. And it can just happen so quickly before you ever even know, before you've got a glimpse. And you always think, well, I'll know when to get out. I'll know when to get out, right? Do you ever know when to get out?
Well, the only way, you see, this is the thing. If you're banking on pure luck, or your momentum, I always say, great, what does that tell you about when you're going to have too much risk exposure? You know, when the cycle turns, what will you do? And most people have no plan whatsoever. Their plan is the cycle should always go up. Well, that's a terrible plan, because that's never going to be the case. So the only thing you can have is some rule set that says, you know, I will not go past here in my own risk management, because then mental illness sets in, quite frankly. Oh, and yeah. I'm reading the comments of people who have been long this market in the past few years, ridden this up to these, you know, historic all-time valuations, are feeling genius, are feeling, you know, supernatural, like they are know everything, don't need to worry about downside or risk. And I read it and I think, oh my, like I feel so bad for you. You are so lost. And I don't mean that in any condescending way. I mean that in a painful, you know, watching these cycles for the last 25 years and seeing the real life impacts. People getting sucked in because they don't have a tether. If you don't have a valuation tether, a measurement tether, something that tells you when you're far off the mean and you know, far off where you should be on risk, then you are in for a penny and in for a pound. And that's where the pounding starts.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it. That's what you call deja vu all over again, Danielle. And it never changes, right? I mean, it just never
changes. Well, individuals can change. They can. People can learn. You know, our client letter I'm writing this month is about, you know, looking back on the last 20 years of experience in you know, up close and personal to this thing, not from the 40,000 foot feet view, which is what all those smoothed out charts of assuming compound return stuff goes, but just actually being risk management to real people in the world for the last 20 years. What you see is that it was in 1998 that the Fed-led bailout of long-term capital hit when genius failed, right? Roger Lowenstein's great book about the geniuses that set up long-term capital blows up in a spectacular fashion in 98. Instead of letting them take their embarrassment and take their losses and their bankruptcy, the bankers stepped in and bailed them out. And that was a nod to institutional speculators that they would be backed if they, you know, got into trouble. Yeah. And from there, 20 years later, we're still living this nightmare. You know, we're coming to another period where we're going to have blowups in a spectacular fashion. And the question is going to be who and with what will we bail this out the next time? And if we do, how will we purge this very destructive behavior and inclination, which is inherent in human nature? But you can have certain periods where it is, you know, they throw gas on the fire, and other times when it's allowed to fall on its own stupidity, frankly. You know, if you make bad mistakes and you lose, you're supposed to learn from that and not repeat it. And so humans can learn, but they have to have the consequence, and they have to not learn it too late in life. You know, the best thing you can do actually is lose a ton of money in these kind of markets or assets or some kind of scheme earlier on in your life not forget the pain and lesson of that. It's the people that come to it late who are now already in their 50s, 60s, 70s. They're riding these things thinking they're investing. And, you know, unfortunately, the quote experts that are in the business of collecting assets and taking commissions and fees off money that's been cordoned into these things, they aren't going to help either, because they've all convinced themselves that you can't measure risk and you can't avoid downturns and you shouldn't try, which is the worst possible conclusion you could come to after the last 20 years of this particular cycle.
But individual investors are screwed no matter what they do. They're not really good at timing markets either.
But it's not about timing markets. This is the thing. No one's saying that you have a system that allows you to only be in when things are going up and will take you out when things are going down. It's not about timing markets. It's about figuring out valuations and probable returns from there. And that is actually quite a possible procedure to do. It just requires constant discipline and effort. And most people's eyes glaze over, their attention span's too short, and all they want to know is, am I going to get rich next year or this year in the next 3 months? That's the exact wrong mentality. And if that's your mentality, frankly, you'd be better off not going near these markets, not trying to do any of this, you know, sticking to just guaranteed deposits, and that's it.
Well, but what you're describing, right, doesn't it really get you in the market too early and take you out too early?
Well, again, too early and too late are only things we can know in retrospect. I mean, you can look back on a chart of a market cycle and go, March 2009 was the bottom. You know, that was when you should have bought. And, you know, December 07 was the top. That's when you should have sold. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. But we have a system that actually gets us in roughly and roughly in and roughly out near those peak in valuations. No, I'm not saying it's perfect market timing. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying if you have a discipline that says, you know, that, for example, today, the things that are most positively correlated with actual subsequent returns are all saying that we're at the 90th percentile of nut job behavior here on technical and fundamental 90. So you have a 10% chance. With that sort of roughly, this is how I look at it. It tells you there's a 10% chance that it could go up a bit further from here. And there's a 90% chance that it'll fall. So there's a tool that you can use to decide whether or not it's worthy of your savings to be exposed to those kind of odds. And if you think that it is, what portion of your savings do you want to bet on that 10% further increase? And so, you know, people go on and on about you can't time market. That's just mental programming that has come from the propaganda machine of the financial services world. And everyone's afraid of looking dumb if they miss out on some upside. But that is, like I said, if you can't control your behavior and your psychology any better than that, do yourself a favor. You know, it's like the Bitcoin dudes, you know, was at near 20,000 and it crashed 10, you know,
that's well, it's going to go higher, Danielle.
And many people still double down and think that they're right and insist that they're right and won't acknowledge that they took dumb risk with too great a portion of their savings and it was reckless.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for it. You know, it's just people don't like to sit on the sidelines and watch their neighbors get rich.
Or the appearance of it, right? Because if their neighbor doesn't have a good measurement and discipline, you know, they're going to ride it up and then they're going to crash it down.
No doubt. No doubt this is true. Well, we got to cut it a little short here, Danielle, but it's always great having you on. Make sure you check out Danielle's site, jugglingdynamite.com. Must reading. You have a really good article going up shortly. I just want to tell us the title.
Yeah, it's called When the Cycle Strikes Back.
Yeah. Revenge of the Cycle. And it's inevitable that it will. It's just a question of when it will. And nobody knows the answer. All you can do is guess at it and hopefully be more conservative with your guess and live to invest another day rather than being wiped out, which can happen so quickly. I just remember 2000, you know, watching these paper profits evaporate daily and being paralyzed by fear, not being able to get out and, you know, suffering the consequences. And all I had to do was sell when it started going down. I knew it was going to go down. There was never a question, but I just couldn't pull the trigger. So fear is your greatest enemy. And hey, send us an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. And the Twitter feed is @KerryLutz. The Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Danielle, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.